This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Thank you, O God, that your grace has brought us safe thus far, and your grace will lead us on. Thank you for this day, this moment, this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for this privilege that you bestowed upon us, just to be in your wonderful presence. I pray, the Lord, that you will heal us, forgive us, and strengthen us in our hour and moment of need. We need you to meet every need, O God, and we trust that you'll do so. Now, oh God, in this moment of worship, in this time of worship, you've heard from us. Now we need to hear from you. Nothing matters unless we have your word. And I pray, God, your word will go forth today with conviction, with clarity, and understanding. I pray now, God, that the atmosphere be set, ears and hearts be receptive to what you want to say to us today. We pray, God, that some soul will be saved, some life will be changed, some destiny will be altered. We thank you in advance for how much better we're going to be after you share with us on today. I now, God, yield myself to you. I ask, oh God, you anoint my lips to speak your oracles on today. Touch my heart, touch my mind to be in oneness with you. And if I do or say anything outside of your will or word, I pray, God, your forgiveness, that you may get the glory today. So I pray now, God, we move all agendas, all issues, all struggles out of the way, that you may have free course to minister to us on today. We love you. We praise you and we thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people of God together said, amen. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Good morning, Zion. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We thank God for his many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. To God be the glory for the things he has done. For we can testify he has done great and mighty things. I hear the song say it's another day's journey. And I'm glad about it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about another day. Amen. To all of our ministers and ministry leaders and to all of you who assemble, thank you for allowing Zion to be your worship partner on today. It is our honor that you are here with us today. Any visitors that we may have, we thank God for you. To those who are worshiping online, we thank God for your presence with us today as well. But now, don't get comfortable at home. We want to see your face too. Amen. We thank God for this privilege to be in the house of the Lord with you. Amen. There is a word from the Lord we want to share with you and let you go. Get back warm. Cook your chili and gumbo, whatever you need to do to get yourself through these next couple of days. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. God bless you today. God bless you. The 16th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit has led us to a context of scripture to help us with our walk with God today, hopefully, prayerfully. Not 1 Chronicles. 1 Corinthians. If you're in Chronicles, you got to keep going. If you're in 2 Chronicles, you went too far. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16. Are you there? If you look in 1 Corinthians 16 and around verse number 9, you'll see these words recorded somewhat like this. Great door of effectual is open unto me, and there are great adversaries. Thank you. You may be seated. Grass withers and the flowers fade thereof. Word of our God shall stand forever. Y'all appear to be a little antisocial today, but if you will just labor with me one moment and look to a neighbor. Now, I tell you often, if you sit next to somebody you don't like, that's your fault. Hopefully, you're sitting next to somebody you halfway like. Halfway. And look them in the eye and say to them, neighbor, good morning.
Good morning.
You made two good decisions. You came to church and you sat by me. God's word to us today. I'm walking into something great. That was the wrong neighbor. Find you one more neighbor and say to him, neighbor, my other neighbor didn't get happy. Here's your chance to get happy with me. God's word to us today. I'm walking into something great. Now give God praise what he wants to tell us on today. I'm walking into something great. It's so important today, beloved, that you and I really hear God in a way we've never heard God before. God's desire for you and his children, flaws and all, is to walk you into a great season. That means that this season won't have some issues and some ups and downs, but there's nothing like walking in purpose. And there's nothing like walking on purpose to know that God is guiding you, that God is covering you, that not only is God going to guide you, but God will guard you. That you don't have to worry about things when God has ordained your steps and ordained your path. But you've got to be willing today to individually hear God, what he wants to say to you. Because the neighbor you just talked to might not get it. And you don't need to be worried about what your neighbor, how your neighbor responds today. You don't need to worry about how the ministry leaders respond today. You need to see if you go respond to what God wants to say. Because God's word to somebody who's willing to receive it, I'm going to walk you into something great. In this year of movement, you've got to be willing to walk into something great. Here's my prayer for you as your pastor, as your brother today. Here's my prayer for you. My prayer that you don't allow the trauma of your past to forfeit your future. I pray that the pain you went through, the things that you've gone through, the trauma, the disappointment, the disgust, all that you've gone through, I pray that you don't let that stop you from walking into something great. I got to tell somebody, God is not done with you yet. I don't know. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just one of them people who just believe in God's word. I believe if God said it, that settles it. That if God's word is true then, God's word is true even now. And God's word says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered a man's heart what God has in store for those that love him. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you love him? And if you love him, you ought to be expecting that God's got something great for you. Your life is not over yet. I don't care what they said. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what they did. God is not done with you yet. Here's somebody's testimony. This is somebody's word for free. When God wants you, he knows where to find you. So you might well go and live and experience what God has for you. And I believe today that somebody, it may be two, it may be three, it may be one, but somebody's going to walk into something great. I'm excited about my future. I'm excited about what God has. I'm not being mad. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not going to be messed up. I thank God that he spared my life. He kept me for such a time as this. I thank him today. And I'm ready to walk into something great. That's the word I want to share with you today, simply that Paul, the author of this text today, was in Ephesus at the time that he writes this text. He's in Ephesus writing to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church he set this church up, spent a year and a half, 18 months with this church, and they've got some issues. Can the church say issues? You know what it's like, that even if Corinth can have some issues, New Zion can have some issues. That every now and then, even the people of God struggle when it comes to just how to live amongst each other, how to love and how to fellowship, what's really important, what's not important, how to collect money, how to utilize the money. All these things you'll find in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's church problems. This is not for the sinners. This is for people who are a part of God's family, that even we who belong to God sometimes struggle when it comes to life. The Corinthian church is a gifted church, but they're a guilty church. They are gifted, but they groan sometimes. They complain and they compete and they divide and they get into it about stuff that really doesn't matter. But it doesn't mean they're not God's people. They just need some help. And Paul is introduced to us, and he's got some word in Ephesus that the people of God in Corinth are struggling with each other and struggling with leadership and struggling with the spiritual gifts and struggling with the word and struggling with love and struggling with the anointing, struggling with unity, struggling with themselves, struggling with one another. And Paul uses his whole book of 1 Corinthians to address these issues. But remember now, in chapter 16, where we are today, Paul is not in Corinth, but he is in Ephesus. And Paul says, I want to be with you. I want to come with you. My plan is to come see you soon. But right now, I'm walking into something great. Paul says, I want to be there with you. I want to deal with what you got going on. But right now, where I am, God wants to walk me into something great. I'm going to try it till you get it. I understand I got trouble. I understand I got some stuff I need to handle at home. I understand I got trouble at the house. I understand I got some money problems. I understand I got health issues. But right now, where I am, God wants to walk me into something great. I understand I'm black. I understand I live in Louisiana. I understand it's going to be freezing the next couple of days. I understand that I got some trouble coming. I understand I got some things I got to deal with. But right now, where I am, God wants to walk me into something great. I understand I got to go to school. I understand I'm tired of my job. I understand I'm sick of people in the church. I understand they don't like me. I understand I can't get along with anybody. But right now, where I am, God wants to walk me into something great. I'll get there eventually. I'll handle that later. But right now, in order to go back and handle y'all, I'm going to let God handle me. Before I go back to that job, before I go back to the doctor, before I go back to the bank, I'm going to stop right now and let God handle me right where I am. Because where I am now is where God wants me to be. And right now, God wants me to walk into something great. I was trying to preach it so y'all can understand it, that God wants you, he knows what's wrong over there, but how about right now? He knows what you want to do. He knows your heart, but what about where you are right now? And I want to tell somebody, don't you disregard Ephesus just because your heart is in Corinth. You may not be where you want to be, but you might be where God wants you to be. And as long as you're where God wants you to be, you're in the right place. Paul says, I'm going to get that to you after a while. I'll be there in a little while. But right now, I'm about to walk into something that's great. Greater is calling me. And if I keep letting y'all talk to me, I'll never walk into my greater. If I keep letting the negativity of Corinth affect my walk, I'll never walk into something great. If I keep letting the faces and the dispositions and the issues with people to plague me, I won't walk into something great. I spent 15 and a half chapters telling y'all how to handle y'all. But I don't, just because I love y'all don't mean I don't love me. And I, no matter what God says, I'm still going to walk into something great. Stay mad if you want to, I'm going to walk in something great. Be upset if you want to, because you're making a choice, because you got enough word by now that you know how to live. By now you know how to get along. By now you know how to be in order. But if you don't want to do that, that ain't got nothing to do with me, Paul says. I'm going to stay right here and walk into something great. Let me hurry. Y'all ain't come for this. I'm walking. You're walking into something great. Paul says that I am going to stay here in Ephesus until Pentecost, until I get through walking into where God wants me to walk. Tucked away in this text, tucked away in this passage, is Paul's personal dedication and proclamation that there's a great door and effectual that's been opened for me, and there are many adversaries. But I'm walking into something great. Can I share with you just a little bit and talk about this new great place? It begins today, friends, with an opening that is personal. The opening is personal. Got your Bible open? See where you're going to say making it up? Paul says that a great, effectual door. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But I want to start by saying has been opened for me. Try again. For a great and effectual door has been opened, is open for me. Every time might be a charm. Paul says that in everything going on, we're open a great door and effectual is open for me. Now, here's where you can't be congregational here. Because this is something you've got to accept for yourself. Now, let's unpack for a minute this word door. Can the church say door? Door, my friends, is not a literal door. But it's a metaphor Paul uses to help illustrate a point he wants to make. That a door, can I talk about a door? That a door is a mechanism. It is something that shifts you from one place to another. Okay, I'm losing y'all. A door takes you from one atmosphere to another. Let me try it like this. It's cold outside, but you walk through a door in here and it warmed up. And it don't feel the same way in here that it does out there because you walk through a door. So doors can shift you, but then doors separate. Because, see, God has allowed you to be separated from some stuff. And the reason why we don't have joy this morning is because you won't allow yourself to go through a door that's going to allow you to go to a new atmosphere. Here it is. Y'all ready? Because doors, in order to go in, you got to leave something. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. In order to walk in the door, you've got to leave where you've been. And I need to talk real quick to somebody who won't move on. I need to talk to somebody who's afraid to try change. I need to talk to somebody who won't go where God said. In order to walk in, you got to come out. The door, I know that the fellowship hall is on the other side, but until I walk through a door, I can't get to it. And somebody's afraid to go through the door because inside this room is people I've been hanging with. Inside this room is stuff I don't need. But in order to make a transition, because if you look at the door and the size of the door, it only room for one person. Stop trying to bring people in who have not been called into where you've been called to. And if some comes a point in time that even if mama ain't called, if daddy ain't called, if husband ain't called, if wife ain't called, I'm going to make the positive personal decision, I'm going in. Do I have anybody in Zion who's made up in their mind? I'm walking into what God wants for me. Either that includes leaving you, if it includes leaving them and leaving that, I'm walking into what God wants me to have. Church, Paul says maybe this door, he uses the illustration of a door because you've got to walk through it. It won't move. It's a place of shifting. It's a place of separation. Because just because we're in the same building don't mean we're in the same room. Who is God talking to today? Because you got to be willing to walk through a door. Paul says that an opening has been made for me. You missed your shout. Can I shout you real quick? No, you ain't going to shout. Y'all don't even feel like it today. I just shout myself. You missed something in the text. Paul says, a great and effectual door has been opened for me. Try again. A great and effectual door has been opened for me. A great and effectual
door has been opened. Okay. Here's what I want you to see. Y'all, you ain't got to open it.
A door that the Lord has already opened for you. See, that's why you got to understand that God has a door that's already been opened. I hear John say God told Jesus to tell him to tell us that I can open doors no man can open, and I can close doors nobody can close. And somebody to give God glory today and say, Lord, I thank you for a door you already opened. All I got to do is walk in. It's already been unlocked. It's already been provided. I just simply got to walk in.
Boy, for me, that God thinks enough of you with all your sins, all your struggles, all your mistakes, all your heartache, he still says, I got a door I've opened just for you. I wish somebody would love God like I love God today, to say that I don't have to make it myself. I ain't got to create a way. I ain't got to open the door myself. God has already opened the door. All I got to do is just simply walk on in. Do I have anybody in Zion who's made up in their mind, I want to walk into what God wants for me, no matter it don't make sense, I can't figure it out. It's a gift. It's about opening is personal. Y'all see the door? Can you see the door? Can you see the door? Here it is, y'all. There ain't but one way to go. To your new place. To something great, you got to go through the door. You got to go through the door that's already been provided for you. Already been prepared for you. All you and I got to do is believe enough and just walk on in. Now, in order to do that, though, you got to be willing to leave some places and leave some people. Do you trust God enough to walk away from what don't want you to leave? Are you willing to walk away from what's usual and walk through the door? That's why I say it's personal. You can't do this on the buddy system. And that's why everybody, it won't be 100% participation in this moment for this message, because some of us have already made up our mind, I ain't changing. I'm not moving. All I want to encourage somebody to do, don't let that bother you. Don't let somebody's faith stop you. Don't let their opinion stop you. Don't let what they say stop you. Walk into what God calls you to walk in. If you want to be negative, stay in that room. If you want to be ugly, stay in that room. If you want to be messy, stay in that room. If you want to be sinning, stay in that room. But I'm walking on to see what God has for me in my next dimension.
Well, the opening is personal. And secondly, the opportunity is profitable. This opportunity of this new place is profitable. Look what Paul says. Now go back to the beginning. Paul says a great door and effectual. A great door. Now some people, some commentators have called it a wide door. That's not what Paul said. He says a great door. It's a door that distinguishes from every other door. It's something special about this door that makes it be called a great door and effectual, which means that it's worthwhile. It's worth the effort. Here's yours. It's worth the risk of walking through a door, because it's been prepared for you. It's personal, but then it's going to be worthwhile to walk in that door. If I were to tell you today that behind door number one there is $1 million, you will take that risk. And you don't ask no question about what else is behind that door. But because of you know what's behind and you know what's in there, you'll still take the risk of go get that $1 million. Can I tell you something that's more than $1 million, that's beyond the door God is calling you to walk in today? God is calling you to purpose. God is calling you. Behind that door is faith. Behind that door is love. Behind that is peace. It's your assignment. It's the anointing on your life. Behind that door is something worthwhile. But now you got to see it now. You got to see it as an opportunity. You got to see it as an opportunity, something worthwhile. Because here's your question. Being in the room you're in now, what have you gained? You're in the house, but you're in the wrong room. You're in the building, but you hadn't moved since you came in the building. And what have you gained by not moving?
What have you gained by not changing anything? What have you gained by being one of the boys and ain't moved? Being popular with the culture. Conforming to worldly standards. What have we gained by being like them and not walking into something great? I'm not asking you, do they like you? I'm not asking you, is it calm? I'm asking you, what have you gained? How much have we become? Because the thing we got to deal with today, I hope you understand by now, is that we got to make some choices. This whole passage is about choices to make. Paul had to make a decision. Paul says, I can either go to where it's comfortable, back in Corinth, or walk into something I don't know what's going on, what's going to happen in Ephesus. I know what to expect when I go to Corinth. But what about when I'm in Ephesus and I'm going to expect something I don't know what's next? Here's why you can trust it. Y'all ready? Here's why you can move forward. I don't have nothing deep, I'm just going to tell you. Because God said so. That's all I got. If God says, make a move, because I got something more profitable for you, who are you to stay where you are? But here's what God says. If you don't want better, don't wait on judgment and say you ain't have an opportunity. Because today he's giving us an opportunity for something great. But we tend to get to a point and relinquish responsibility as though nobody tried to get us to something better. We play crazy. I didn't know. They ain't tell me. Now, here, watch this, y'all. God has Paul send his word to Corinth. Lord, no. He have him give his word to Corinth. And he aimed there. Can you trust the word? Your past ain't present. Your past ain't present. Because real test come when the teacher ain't teaching. Tests come after you've been taught. But the teacher can't give you answers. Because they already gave you answers when they taught you. But when life happens, you can't go to the teacher and say, help me. Paul is in Ephesus. Y'all in Corinth. But do you want to walk through the open door? Even though it's not popular. Even though it's not ordinary. But even though it's an opportunity, that's still great. I lost y'all, I believe. I think I lost y'all. Because you got an opportunity. And these opportunities you have are profitable. You got an opportunity to do and to be and to walk into something great. And you got a choice about what door, the door you're going to walk in. Now, we've got those of us who are deciding to walk in. You got to be comfortable enough to say, y'all don't want to go? That's on y'all. But I'm going to go where God wants me to go. Well, let me leave you. I'm walking to something great. And part of me walking is walking away. And I think I lost y'all when I told you, in order to walk in, got to walk away. And I think I lost some of y'all then. Doors have a way of separating. And Paul had to tell people that he loved, this ain't your door. This door he opened for me. And just because he didn't open it for you don't mean he didn't open it for me. Can I minister real quick? Stop trying to get affirmation from people God ain't even talking to. And certainly stop trying to get affirmation from people who don't talk to God. I discern in my spirit there are some of you who God has been speaking to, but you're not sure. And because you're not sure, you've been talking to people who God ain't been talking to.
and who don't talk to God. But you think they're wise because they're older or they're in church. But God came today to tell you it was me the whole time. Walk into something great. All right, here's my last point. Mac, I'm out of here, man. Ain't no sense me doing it today. The opening is personal. I got to make a choice. It's been open for me. I got to make a choice to walk in it. It's open. I didn't have to open it. He opened it for me. I don't have to have a key. That means if it's been open for me, I ain't got to break in. That means I don't have to stab you in the back to get it. That means I don't have to sabotage your ministry just to get it. It means simply it's for me, which means what God has for me. I don't have to compare myself because I see my door. And when I see my door being open, I ain't got to worry about anybody else's door being open. I'm not going to compare. I'm not going to compete. I'm not going to get mad. I'm just going to see and thank God for a door that's been open. And then I got to understand that the opportunities are profitable. Now, here's what you're not going to like even more. I think I may have flunked this sermon today. Because in order to walk into something great, you got to understand something. Opposition is present. Wait a minute, God. Wait a minute, God. Why would you, look what the text says. For a great door and effectual. It's profitable. It's wonderful. It's going to take me to the next level. It's going to be my, it's my assignment. It's what God wants me to be. But then look what he says. Paul says, a great and effectual door has been opened for me. And there are many adversaries. I could handle this a whole lot better if Paul would have said, but. Why would God walk you into something and you go have a lot? Look what he said. He doesn't say, I could handle a little bit better, Tate, if he just said, a door has been opened for me and there's a lot, is one adversary. You mean you're going to send me into a door and the deck is stacked against me? You mean to tell me, God, that what you're walking me into, I got to deal with the fact it's people who ain't going to be happy for me. I got to walk into something, and from day one, they're going to be against me. I got to walk into something, and they will not support me from day one. And they outnumber me. Wouldn't it be nice if God will walk into something, and you ain't got to worry about nothing? Why would God walk you into something and then you got to face all this opposition? Can I be honest? Some of the opposition makes you think you went in the wrong door. Okay, this is just, maybe that's just for me. Maybe I'm just the only one. Maybe it's just me. Anybody else besides me who say that when God done called you to it, make it look like you went the wrong way? It would appear by the hell you catch. The way folk treat you, the way they do you, the way they handle you, the way they talk about you, then maybe I need to just go out and find me another door. Because this can't be what God called me to do. You want me to believe, preacher, that God done called me to something great? And the hell, I'm sorry, Hades I'm catching? Paul says, I'm here with many adversaries, plural. I'm just me, Paul says, but I'm facing a lot. And you want me to believe I'm in a great place? Maybe, and somebody say maybe. Maybe God wants to show you that I'm going to not only teach you how to walk in, I'm going to teach you how to win. Maybe God called you into that door not to show you, but to show them that who God got his hand on, who God has anointed, who God has called, who God has led, even your plot won't work. Even your mess won't work. Even your hurt won't work. Even your talk won't work. No weapon formed against you shall be able. Maybe you in it so you can show the world how God's people just stand in the midst of attacks, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of pain, having done all, just stand. He never promised you and I that the world would be easy. He just promised he was always going to be with us. And from day one, you walked into your purpose place. And that's why some of us won't go into it, because you didn't face so much opposition. Now, what's the point of leaving one enemy and walk in and find some new ones? Who is God talking to in the new? Paul is writing this letter to Corinth, right? And in Corinth, one of their arguments was he ain't really our pastor no way. One of their arguments is we belong to Apollos. We belong to Peter or Cephas. We belong to Jesus. We don't even, can nobody tell us nothing? I belong to the Lord. Deep people. So Paul knows what it's like to have opposition. And then Paul has enough gumption to say, I'm walking into something great. And yes, there is a great deal of opposition. I got a lot of adversaries. I wish I could come in here and tell you that 2024 is going to be your year of no trouble. I wish I could come in here and tell you that 2024, you ain't got to deal with no kind of issues in your life. I wish I could come in here and tell you that 2024, you ain't got to deal with the devil. But if you're walking in purpose, I'd be lying to you. Because you know you're going on the right track when the devil is messing with you. All right, Shanice, let's go and start playing. I can't do this no more. Jesus, our Savior. Maybe God uses the affliction, the opposition, to bring you advancement. Because if it wasn't for the Roman soldiers, he don't die on the cross for us. If it wasn't for the brothers putting Joseph in the pit, he don't end up in the palace. Part of David's story is not him being king, but him having to be a shepherd and fight and face Goliath first. Maybe part of the opposition is to show you how to overcome. Doesn't mean you're not walking in something great, because I believe that the greater the adversity, the greater the anointing. And this is the season. This is the moment. This is the year. This is the opportunity that we cannot live amongst puny, weak saints. By now, if you go walk for the Lord, you gotta know you gotta deal with some opposition. Stop trying to get everybody to accept you walking into something great. Because some of the people you're trying to walk with, the people you're supposed to walk away from. Amen. Can I share with you prophetically? I'm going to let you go. In order to walk in this door that's been opened for you, can you walk in something great and not tell the world? Here's why I asked that. Paul said, a great door has been opened, but he's not explicit about what it is. People believe it was greater ministry, more preaching, and all that. But Paul is not, and y'all have learned, been under my leadership, you've learned, don't put something in the Bible that ain't there. And don't take from it what is there. Paul does not say exactly what this door is. He just says it's great and it's effectual. And it's been opened. But does Paul get on Facebook and tell his business? If Paul walked in and got himself a job, do you have to post and tell everybody? Because if I'm spending time walking in my door, I ain't got time to be worrying about yours. I told you, I think last week, that in this season, you ain't even got to look for it. People going to start showing you who they are. Watch this. People who don't have doors open for them keep looking at yours. That means they ain't got no business. So they're always in yours. Always know somebody's business. Always know that's because they're not being called anything. Can God trust you? Anybody ever blown it before? Anybody ever had missed opportunities? Don't let this be your moment to miss. Because the God I serve is gracious enough to give you and I another opportunity to walk in something great. But instead of proving that to people, walk in it and give God glory for it. Can he trust you today? No answer in here, because everybody gonna say the right answer in here. Can he trust you to bless you with this opportunity and you don't blow it trying to brag? All for Jesus. I'm done. All for Jesus. I'm done. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom. All for Jesus. Don't worry about the praise team. Don't worry about it. All for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm walking to something great. You're here, won't you come? You want to walk into relationship with God, relationship with Christ, want to walk into something great. God bless you all. Are there others today? Want to walk into something great. And we'll talk with Alan. Alan, be seated. We'll talk to you after worship. Thank you, Ann. Thank you. Are there others today? Are there others today who are serious? Who are what? Serious about walking in something great. This is not about playing around. It's not about you saying the right stuff. It's about your walk with God. And God is not playing with us today. Don't come walking something you ain't really willing to commit yourself to. He has great things in store, but you got to be serious about it. Don't do what you think is the church's thing to do. Do what's right in your heart to do. Commit yourself to him. Are you here? The ministers are coming. Are there others today? Are there others? Glory to God.
thank God today, Sister Gwen Moss wants to join this ministry by letter. Amen. Welcome home. Welcome home. To God be the glory. We have Sister Peyton Carroll, who's come for salvation and to be baptized. Can we give God glory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that beautiful smile on her face. Look at that peace. Glory to God. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. Welcome home. Amen. And Sister Maitha Moss has come to rededicate herself to the Lord. Amen. Come on, give God praise for that. Something great we're walking into. Glory to God. Glory to God. Sisters, is already getting better. It's all because you've made a step. You're walking. Day by day, keep walking. Day by day, it won't always make sense, won't always be easy. But every day you walk with the Lord, it gets sweeter and sweeter. We're living witnesses all across this room. Keep living for the Lord, trusting the Lord. Every day gets sweeter and sweeter. Amen. God bless all of you. Do y'all know Minister Moss? I don't know if y'all know her. Sister Brenda Moss. Do y'all, you two ladies know her? If y'all would see her after worship today, she will get you information. I know y'all don't know her, but if you would get her information today, she'll get with you and Sister Cassandra as well, and we'll get you guys set up. Come on, give God praise for
want to thank everybody for your gifts, and now we're going to turn it over into the hand of our pastor. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap as he come. Amen. Y'all know it's 12 years of dealing with us. We ought to be shouting.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you so much for your love shown today. We thank God for you. We thank God for this wonderful day. To God be the glory for what he has deposited into this place today, into these hearts. And we're walking to something great. We thank God. There's a heaviness in here. I don't know why, but there's such a heaviness in the house. I don't know why. It's meant to be a celebratory day, a day of excitement, enthusiasm. I don't know why it's going like it's going, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Thank God for all of you. And part of understanding, I had to let God minister to me. As I ministered to you today, I had to be ministered to for several weeks concerning this word. And I don't know where God is going to move me. I don't know where God is going to take me. But I do know I'm walking into something great. That much I do know. Amen. I'm getting more clarity as the days go by. I just leave it at that. Thank you, Lord. Anything else to come before us? Pray that you all will be safe these next couple of days with the prediction of winter weather and all that. Please be safe. Don't try to be a daredevil. And your vehicles ain't built to do all that stuff. So don't try that. Don't try stuff you ought not try. Be safe, please. Please be safe these next several days. And hope to see you back on Wednesday evening for Bible study. And hope everybody will be here and safe as we come back to share. See you then. Have a wonderful week. If anything else will come before us before we go, if not, shall we stand? For let Tawana and them go courting. They over there courting right there now. Her and Tori courting, hugging each other in the middle of church. So we finna let y'all go. I see somebody being cold and staying warm. They done got started already. So we let y'all go so y'all go court. Amen. Let's lift your hands to the Lord today, if you will. Gracious God, we thank you for being God and God alone. Thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace, your power. Thank you for your word today. We receive your word. We're digesting your word. And we believe that you gave a relevant word to us today, that we're walking into something great. Whatever we need to do with it, God, I pray that you give us the power and the courage to do it, that we may see fruit from it. I pray you bless every soul under the sound of my voice, every spirit, every home, every family. All they will touch will prosper. Everywhere they go will be good ground. That you'll anoint them afresh, God, with your spirit and your presence. That you'll meet every need they have. Comfort them where they need it. Strengthen them where they need it. Build them up where they need it. In the name of Jesus. Pray, God, that you bless us this week as we deal with some adverse weather predicted weather. We pray, God, your protection, your power, keep us. Then help us to make prudent, wise decisions as we deal with it. I pray, God, everyone be safe, that you'll keep us in your hand and your care. I pray, God, we have a wonderful week in you, that we see your glory, see your face in the midst of it all. We thank you for being God and God alone. We trust you with the details of our life. Even the things you don't tell us about, we still trust you, that you will guide us through it. I lift this Zion family, God. I lift this church to you. We thank you for the additions to the family today. Thank you, Lord. We don't take that for granted. Thank you that you added to the body of Christ. That you're opening a door for us to welcome souls to you. And for that, we thank you for opening the door of Zion. And I pray that you will bless the leadership of this house.